As we come to the Word of God, please pray all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning. And may the words that flow from my lips truly be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So for the past 2.5 months, as Matt was sharing with the kiddos a few moments ago, we've been on a journey through the Old Testament book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible. And this book tells the miraculous story of God, a God who makes himself known, the one true God, by redeeming and freeing his people who have been held in bondage and slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years. Actually, we know they've been living in Egypt for 430 years. We don't know how many of those years were actually in slavery, but we can guess that it was a significant number. So to put 430 years into context for us today, the United States, the Republic of the United States, has been in existence since 1776. So that's 244 years. So for almost 200 years longer, right, close to double the lifespan of the United States of America, the people of Israel have been living in Egypt. And the Hebrew people, right, they're also known as the Israelites, they were delivered by God through a man named Moses, a very special man, considered the greatest prophet of Israel in the Old Testament, who was set apart by God to act as the people's mediator, to act as a prophet, and to act as a judge between God and his people. The people did not go directly to God. God did not go directly to the people. Moses was the mediator. He was the point person in between those two bodies. We've read multiple accounts over the several weeks of Moses performing supernatural acts through the might and hand of God in leading the people out of Egypt into the Sinai wilderness desert. He parted the waters of the Red Sea. He made bitter waters sweet. He caused manna to form on the ground every morning and quail to arrive every evening for the people to eat. He calls water to flow from a rock by striking it with his staff. On another account, this is in the book of Numbers, chapter 20. We have not read this, but on another occasion, God told Moses to speak to a rock to bring forth water because the people were thirsty, and Moses, out of frustration with the people, disobeyed God. Rather than speaking to the rock as God told him to, he struck the rock with his rod, with his staff. Water did come forth, but for this disobedience, God told Moses that he would not be allowed to enter into the promised land. Moses would bring his people to the border of the promised land, but he would not be allowed to physically enter into the promised land. As we come to our reading this morning, the people of Israel have been living in the desert wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. An entire generation of faithless people had died off, and a new generation had been raised up. And God, through Moses, had brought them north from the Sinai wilderness into what is today Saudi Arabia and the country of Jordan. They fought as they went. They defeated local chieftains and small kings, and they arrived at a place on the east side of the Jordan River, across from the mighty fortress city of Jericho, which is believed to be one of the oldest cities on the planet. And it is here that God calls Moses to the top of Mount Nebo, because God desires to speak to him one-on-one. At this point, we'll come to the text.
Hear the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite of Jericho. And the Lord showed him all of the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev, in the plain that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor was unabated, and the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord had sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning during the sermon, we're going to experiment with the projectors. So I prepared a few slides to share with you today, and I'd like to show the first slide to you now. This is Mount Nebo. This is the mountain that God called Moses to the top of. Nebo is the tallest landmass in this particular portion of the Near East. It rises 2,651 feet above sea level. Now, it's worth sharing with you that it would have looked very similar to this in Moses' day, except for the paved road you see in the bottom of it going up to the top. Moses would not have had a hard wall to walk up. But this is the mountain that Moses rose and climbed up on. And according to some friends of mine who have been to Mount Nebo, that when you stand on the top of it and you look out, the panorama is absolutely stunning. If we could look at the next slide, please. This is the view from Mount Nebo. Moses' view initially would have looked something very similar to this, at least before God gave him that very special vision to see all of the different lands of the tribes of Israel that they would inherit. But before we can move any forward with the text for today, it's important that we look back just a bit to give some context into what God is doing with Moses on top of this mountain. The book of Deuteronomy, as Matt shared with the children a bit ago, takes its name from two Greek words, deutero, which means two or second, and nomos, which is the Greek word for law. That is, it is the second giving of the law or the rereading of the law from Moses to God's people. And the book of Deuteronomy, apart from Psalms, I believe, is the most quoted book of the Old Testament and the New Testament. As I've shared with you many, many times over the last year and a half, right, from Augustine of Hippo, his famous words, the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. Deuteronomy consists of three great speeches by Moses, and then at the very end of Deuteronomy, in the three chapters preceding where we are today, there's a legal compendium which Moses gives to the people regarding how to faithfully live into the law of God. This was all done. The giving of Deuteronomy to the people was all done while the peoples were camping on the plains of Moab, which is modern-day Jordan. If you can think of a political modern political map of the Near East, And this would be directly across from Jericho on the east side of the Jordan River. Remember, the people are no longer in the Sinai desert wilderness. They have moved north, conquering as they have moved toward the land promised to them by God, fulfilling a covenant promise that God had made to their ancient ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they would be given a land flowing with milk and with honey. Just a few moments ago, we read verses 5 and 6 that Moses, at this point in the Exodus story, at the very end of his life, is still considered, quote, a servant of the Lord. God's earlier reprimand of Moses by striking the rock. And you may recall that after Moses struck the rock when he was called to speak to the rock, that was an act of disobedience to God. But also in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul explicates the event that took place between God and Moses when he struck the rock. He says that that spiritual rock in which water flowed from in the wilderness was actually Christ. That perhaps the pre-incarnate Christ was in front of or on the rock. And when Moses struck the rock, he was striking Christ. And despite Moses striking the rock and not being allowed to enter into the promised land, God has not separated himself from Moses in this very special, close, loving relationship that they have together. In fact, in our reading today, God does two very special things to honor Moses at the very end of his life. The first thing that God does is he allows Moses a vision, some type of an oracle, perhaps, from atop Mount Nebo to see the land that his people will soon inherit. Moses may not be able to enter it physically, but the Lord has enabled him the ability to see beyond where the naked eye can see. As the picture indicates before you, you can see a few miles from the top of Mount Nebo. Perhaps you've been to Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, at Chattanooga. It's roughly the same height of a mountain. You can see several miles from there. But there would be no way that Moses could have seen beyond the Jordan River to the lands as far away as Naphtali, Ephraim, and Manasseh, the extreme northern areas of Israel today and southern Lebanon. The second thing that God does for Moses while he's on top of Mount Nebo is that God provides for Moses' burial. This may not sound like such a big thing, and you may wonder, why in the world would God bury Moses secretly? Well, this is a private matter between Moses and God. And we read that nobody to this very day knows where Moses is buried. Yet this is a loving act by God because it did not allow the Israelite people, it did not allow the enemies of Israel, whether they be religious or political, to exhume Moses' body to be used for evil purposes. Humans have a fascination with the dead. Next slide, please. This is a picture of Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, better known to most people in the world today as Vladimir Lenin. Lenin was one of the key leaders of the Bolshevik Revolution, which toppled the Romanov dynasty, the rulers of Russia, for nearly 300 years. The revolution took place in October of 1917, and this man was instrumental in moving the Russian Empire, transforming the Russian Empire into the Soviet Union. Lenin died on January 21st, 1924. Since January 27th, just 6 days later, his body has been on display in the Lenin Mausoleum in Red Square, Moscow, where hundreds of millions of people over the last 100 years have walked by and seen this man, this person who was a representative of what the state looks like.